God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen. You know, there's always a discussion around Christmas and Easter by us preaching types that centers on whether we even need to preach a sermon. I mean, the story, the hymns, it's all so familiar and really tells itself. Sorry, you're not that lucky. Still, they do have a bit of a point. I mean, how many of you can practically recite from memory that scene from A Charlie Brown Christmas, right? You know where I'm going. Lights, please. Linus responding to Charlie Brown's question about what is the real meaning of Christmas. Well, Linus was working with a good scripture, the one we heard tonight. So y'all know this story. You may have even acted it out as a child in a Christmas pageant. How many of you did that? No little angels in here at all? Seriously? Okay, we might get the versions from Luke and Matthew all mixed up in our mangers at home, but the basic story we know by heart, or at least in our heads. So that begs the question, why are you here? Why are you here? Why then would you come here and not be home getting some last minute things done or celebrating with people you love or perhaps flopping exhausted on the sofa in front of the television watching yet another Christmas movie on the ABC television family 25 Days of Christmas? But instead you're here. Maybe it's the music, the familiar joy of it, or perhaps it's the beauty of a candlelit church. Or maybe it's something you've always done on Christmas Eve, as much as putting up a Christmas tree or hanging stockings. Or maybe you're just here to avoid being someplace else. Maybe. See, I think whether we realize it or not, we come here for the S factor. No, not the X factor, but the S factor. And there is truth out there. The sound, the sights, and especially the story. Because it is the story, the one read, the one sung, the one symbolized by candles. It's there where we find a meaning that goes far beyond Santa and elves or silver and gold, and that lasts well beyond the 12 days of Christmas. But I also think we have lost sight of the story a bit because we're so familiar with it. Now, how many of you have been driving to work or home or some other place you go often, and you suddenly realize that miles have gone by without you really being aware of it? I mean, it happens to me all the time. Most of you know I live an hour away. And I have to admit that while I do pay attention to the road, I often show up here not realizing all the places I've gone by. I mean, I sometimes don't even know the names of the streets I drive on because the route is so familiar to me. Does that happen to any of the rest of you? Oh, thank goodness, because I thought maybe, you know, nobody else is resonating with that. See, I think it happens to many of us at this time of year especially because our minds can only absorb so much. And so this familiar story is one we let sort of wash over us. We know how it goes. We know the characters. We know the plot line, the whole shebang. We sort of drive by it, or it drives by us without really hearing it anymore. But I know that when something shakes me out of that commuting routine, like a detour or someone else doing the driving, God forbid someone else does the driving, I usually find something I never saw before. Maybe it's a new building going up, or perhaps a flowering tree, or even that there might be a better way to get where I was going in the first place. So time for a detour. Let's not look at the story in the usual way, but let's go by a different path, trying to imagine ourselves as the characters. Now, I remember at one parish, and some of you have heard this before, where when a snowstorm canceled out the children's pageant and the priest couldn't make it, I gave all the children's costumes to the adults who walked in the door. And believe it or not, I kid you not, a fight broke out almost over who was going to play a particular role. Not Mary, not Joseph, the Star of Bethlehem. I kid you not. So to avoid a similar situation, we'll just leave that part out and start with Joseph. Joseph, Jesus' other dad, you knew Jesus had two dads, right? By the way, I've told this to you, some of you before, but I was on a mission trip with some high schoolers a few years back. And during one part of the trip, the discussion in the van was about God not really being a boy or a girl, or perhaps being both. And one of the girls said she planned to study biology in college. So seizing the moment, I asked her, "So, if God is both a boy and a girl, what would that be biologically?" So she wrote down two X's and an X and a Y, and I said, "Okay. And if Mary's his mother," she wrote down two X's, "then Jesus," and she looked at her paper and shouted, "Oh my God, Jesus was a girl!" I looked at the other priest who was driving the van and I said, "My work here is done." But back to Joseph. Here was this man who was asked to believe something, something so profoundly beyond his imagination. Why did he? Out of fear? Out of love? Out of desperation? Maybe you are a Joseph. What are you asked to believe? And why do you? And what do you hold to be truth? How is truth defined in your life and in your heart? Joseph was a man committed to relationship with God and with Mary. What relationships are calling your attention? And then there's Mary, the chosen one, the one who said yes to God. She ponders things in her heart. The introvert, often overlooked in the Christmas hubbub, but not missing anything that's going on. Marys exist now everywhere, and not just as introverts. Maybe you are her. We like to make Mary all calm and cool, but the thing is, that was likely a very frightening moment for someone so young as Mary. As any one of you who might have had experience in having a child, babies do not come with training manuals. None that I've ever seen. And that whole silent night thing, I'm sure Mary would say, at what any other mother would say, "Did the author of that hymn ever, did he ever," and you know it was a man that wrote it, "had to have been, ever set foot in the delivery room?" I mean, seriously. Or for that matter, anywhere near a baby, any time in the months after that follows. Silent night? Who are they kidding? And then there are the shepherds, the outcasts, the ones in darkened places, those who might wonder if God has forgotten them or exists at all. And yet it was to them that the angels, the messengers of God, appeared. Maybe that's why angels so often have to say, "Do not be afraid," because it's to those whom society would least expect, to the ones who would not expect it themselves, that God goes. To the Marys and Josephs and to the low shepherds who live on society's margins. God coming there is a surprise to them, and I would imagine a bit on the scary side too. Maybe you can relate to that, to surprising moments of grace when you felt furthest from it. I wonder how we might react in our moments of darkness, of loneliness, sitting on the fields of the forgotten. Perhaps you are there now. What would you do? Would you accept the invitation? Would you go to Bethlehem? There are the angels themselves, of course, and I'm sure all of you are thinking, "Yep, that's me, little angel." You know you're thinking that. But while you shine your halos, maybe we can ask ourselves, where have we had messengers enter our lives, and did we see them? Did we listen? Did we respond? Let's see, who else? Who am I missing? Oh yeah, that's right. There's the donkey. Travels all over God knows where, seriously, God knows where. And then, when they finally get to a town, find a place to lay down and get something to eat, don't you know they put the baby right in his food? Poor guy. Now, how many of you have ever seen the Shrek movies? Shrek? The ogre? Oh, come on, I know you've seen this, right? And there's this character called Donkey who is voiced by Eddie Murphy, right? Eddie Murphy? Now, if you haven't seen Shrek the Halls, the Christmas special, you gotta see this. Seriously, it's great. And it's written entirely for adults. This is not really a kid's cartoon. Anyway, There's this one scene when Donkey is trying to console Shrek the Ogre, who is clueless of how to do Christmas. And Donkey says, "My mama always used to say, Christmas ain't Christmas till somebody cries. Usually that someone's me." I wonder sometimes if some of us can unfortunately relate to Donkey on this one. Now we've left out two important characters. There's the innkeeper. The innkeeper, perhaps the most important role, though you wouldn't know it if you asked Sunday school children, right? The innkeeper who was shutting the door, saying there was no room. Now, my favorite Christmas pageant of all time was in the movie The Bells of St. Mary's. It starred Bing Crosby, right, and Ingrid Bergman. Beautiful movie. Fantastic pageant. Why? Because it was simple and full of mistakes. And one of these is when young Joseph is about to knock on the door of the inn, which is nothing more than a curtain. And he starts to knock, but before he does, the innkeeper pokes his head out and says his big line, "Sorry, I don't have any room." And Joseph says, "But I haven't asked you yet." See, this is why I love Christmas pageants, because there's a lot of truth in them. Are you an innkeeper? Are there people you are shutting out? And then there's somebody else in this. Jesus, the Holy Child of God, the light for a world walking in darkness, a baby, the most vulnerable of humanity, totally dependent, needing love, shelter, and relationship. God enters into this world in the same way we do. Imagine that. See, that's why this story is so important. All of the characters, all of it. Because it's a story about us. The Christmas story isn't about something that happened a long time ago in the Galilee far, far away. You know I had to do that. The Christmas story is our story. It happened to each of us. And it's happening now. And because we grow and we change through the years, the story changes with us. And that's why we need to hear it every year. Some years we are the shepherds, feeling alone, isolated, in the dark. Other years we're going to feel like Joseph, maybe being asked to believe until we see, but deeply committed to relationship no matter the cost. Or maybe we're Mary, stepping forward to say yes to some new part of our lives, but not really knowing what that will mean for us. Many years we're even Donkey crying at Christmas. And if we're honest, we're sometimes the innkeeper who said there was no room, perhaps without realizing it, or perhaps out of fear, shutting others out and refusing to allow love in. And all of us have encountered messengers in our lives, whether we saw and listened or not. But of all the characters, one thing never changes. All of us are Jesus, every year. The vulnerable child and the symbol of love. The unexpected one and the one who brought light into the darkness of the world. And it is this role, most of all, that we are called to live every single day. The world still walks in darkness. The darkness of violence in our streets and in our hearts. The darkness of oppression and hatred. The darkness of poverty and loneliness. A young family leaves their home because of their oppressive government. Vulnerable, weak from traveling, desperate for a place to call home, if only for a while, and finding doors closed to them. No room at the inn. In fact, before they can even knock on the door, they are being turned away. If you think I'm talking about Mary and Joseph, you'd only be partially right. I'm also talking about a young mother and father from Syria, rejected just before arriving at the door in Indiana, but found hope in Connecticut, where a door was open for them. And I'm talking about all the other refugees around the world. How prophetic for us today that our story begins in this way. This was the first generation and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Doors are still being shut to those in need, to those who are women, who are gay, who are physically and mentally challenged, to the immigrant, the homeless, to those who think or believe differently, and so many more. These doors are shut sometimes before they even knock. And it's those very people standing outside that offer to us grace in unexpected ways. But there's hope. And it lies within you and me and all those who are celebrating tonight. Because when God dwelt among us, we were transformed into change agents for the world. It is we who are able, as Christ alive today, to bring about peace on earth. We just have to see it in ourselves, to own the story, to say, as Mary did, yes. We must go where the shepherds are, where the Mary and Josephs wearily travel, where those who live in humble dwellings or no dwelling at all struggle to survive. We must go and be the light that cuts through their darkness. And we must stand up to the innkeepers and the governors, the ones who create systems of oppression from which others flee, and the ones who turn their backs on them when they come looking for help. That is the story of Christmas. It's our story. It's your story. It's a story we must all live. And if we do, if we say yes, perhaps one day we might all truly know peace on earth. Merry Christmas.